edition of Awesome Mania.
Just power him right through the burp.
Yeah, power him right through the burp. Don't worry, I'll get my revenge later because I have been eating Taco Bell. But this is a very special edition of Awesome Mania where we are bringing back the Awesome Mania Hall of Fame, and joining me in doing inductions into the Awesome Mania Hall of Fame, we got our boy. He's wearing a shirt. Is he wearing pants? Mr. Matt Carroll.
Negative. You guys got the pants last time. Let's not get used to that. That was a special occasion.
And of course,
what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. And as always, we have our undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor.
The bitches.
So
I'm talking to the two of you.
Yeah. We figured, good sir.
Okay, cool.
But so as I mentioned, we're doing the Awesome Mania Hall of Fame. Our first induction was back on March 2nd of 2019 when we inducted Bobby the Brain Heenan, Gorilla Monsoon, Muhammad Ali, Sensational Sherry, Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, Mae Young, Eric Bischoff, the Hart Foundation of Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and Jimmy Hart. The Fabulous Freebirds, consisting of Michael P.S. Hayes, Terry Gordy, Buddy Roberts, and Jimmy Garvin. Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, Andre the Giant, and William Regal. And then our second induction was done on April 26, 2019, when we inducted our good friend Mansa into the Hall of Fame. So now it's essentially been 2 years since we've done this. So let's get some new names into the Hall of Fame.
So before we do that, we had a few criteria, right? Since there's three of us inducting now, we didn't want to like flood the hall. So what we've decided to do is by committee, we are going to decide on one tag team and or stable, one female, and sometimes, such as there will be this time, there will be a like a unanimous vote. And then outside of that, each of us will get two entrants into the Hall of Fame during this special episode. Those are kind of... What we do is beforehand is we nominate who each of us thinks should be the tag team or stable. We discuss it and pick one of the three. Same with the female. And as with Matt this time, he's like, hey, we should put this person in. And we will go, yeah.
I think this person was actually on all of our lists.
It was on all of our lists. Like I said, it was a unanimous vote.
Which is exactly why I knew he would be, or this person would be. So I said, let's just nobody spend a pick on this person when we all agree that he should be in.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Mike, since she was your initial nomination, why don't you tell us who this year's female entrant to the Hall of Fame is?
Yes, this year's female inductee into the Awesome Mania Hall of Fame is one Miss Elizabeth. She is pretty much one of the more bigger female stars of the 80s and early 90s. She was she was one of the key people that actually helped Macho Man Randy Savage and actually built to his character, as we all saw. And I'm blanking on everything that I was originally talking about when we were doing this. But she had like the impact where everyone kind of like gravitated her. She had that appeal that, you know, makes a star. And case in point, also helps make stars in the process as well, like it was with Macho Man and the feud with Hulk Hogan when we saw the mega powers combust. I'm opening the floor to you, gentlemen.
Nice. Well, yeah, and I mean, also, if you think about it, she's pretty much, I would say, if you ask any female competitor that came after her, who was an inspiration, I feel like almost all of them would say Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to deny that Liz is a inspiration to many, and I, to perfectly go on the record here, I don't believe she did a lot to build the character of Macho Man. She just enhanced the character of Macho Man. You could have put anyone in Liz's role, and Macho Man could have done the same thing. It just wouldn't have worked as well because of everything we know about how much in Liz's home life was, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that. So, yeah, Liz was our female nominee for the 2022.
So, with that, tag team next.
Yeah.
So with that, Ben, this was your pick. So we'll let you take it away on this year's tag team / stable.
Legion of Doom.
Now, real quick, define Legion of Doom.
Hawk and Animal. The Road Warrior Hawk, Road Warrior Animal. Road Warrior / Legion of Doom. No Paul Ellering. No Sonny, no Ahmed Johnson, no Heidenreich, no Droz, no Rocco the Puppet. Like, just Hawk and Animal. Why? I mean, Legion of Doom. I am outspoken about how much I dislike the Legion of Doom, and I nominated them. Like, you open up 10 best tag teams of all time lists, and now top 9 of them, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Now, it's funny because you would think that I would put the Legion of Doom up for a nomination.
Yeah.
But I actually had a different team up, but the Legion of Doom was on the short list for my nominations this year. I'm perfectly happy with the Legion of Doom being in there. Mm-hmm. They're one of my top 5 favorite tag teams of all time. So, you know, good pick.
Admittedly, I probably would have written the one that Legion of Doom don't top when it comes to top 10s, but
probably.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really, I mean, my top viewing of Legion of Doom was much later with the Heidenreichs, but it's not like that. But like, so I never really got the full experience of them outside of like maybe watching archive footage of them. So,
like, it just, it's, you hear us say this a lot when it comes to the Hall of Fame, but they just kind of, they change the game, they're legends, etc. Like, we could repeat these things ad infinitum about everyone that we're going to talk about, right? Like, they're the Legion of Doom, they're the Road Warriors. If you don't know who they are, go watch the tapes. Like, and what do you do listening to this freaking podcast? Like, go watch the tapes, go watch the feuds between them and the Midnight Express, go watch the feuds with them and the Nasty Boys, go watch the feuds with them and Demolition and
Money Inc.
Yeah, just, I mean, not to give too much away, but there was another tag team that was nominated in this, and when we were discussing it, I turned to Matt and said, all right, Matt, I will concede this and put your tag team in if you can name A, what was their finishing move, and B, when was the last time it got a pop? And he was like, I don't know. And I said, what was their finishing move? The Doomsday Device. When did they get a pop? Last Friday on Dynamite when it was done by CM Punk and John Moxley. Like, I don't know what else to say. They're the Legion of Doom. Next. Yeah.
I mean, look at certain tag teams like the Dudley Boys. You know, they made the Doomsday drop, or they like a regular 3D signature move for them. Like they used it as a lead up leading into when they would do the 3D.
Yeah.
So like, so you kind of can't deny that.
Like being able to do the Doomsday device is like shorthand for, wow, that's a good tag team, right? It's anyway, leave the thing, move on next.
So with that, Matt, we were going to let you take the unanimous pick.
All right. So to kind of preface it with a quick story, we all went to Full Gear the first year they had AEW's Full Gear. Out in Baltimore, Maryland. It was freezing freaking cold, and my dumbass was wearing shorts walking through the restaurant. And I hear an old guy go, "That guy's got shorts on. He must be tough. I'd assigned him in the 80s. And I turn and look, and there's Jim Crockett sitting with David Crockett at a table. I proceed to go up and have a quick conversation, get a couple pictures taken with him. And he told me if it was 1980, he'd probably book me with Flair because I seemed tough. He's not right. I'm not that tough. I'm just kind of dumb. But anyway, the next morning we were sitting having breakfast, Mike, Ben, and I. It was obviously a four-person table. There was one extra seat. Mr. Crockett walks into the restaurant. There's a long line of people waiting to get seats. I run up and say, "Hey, Mr. Crockett, I don't know if you remember me from last night." He said he did. I said, "Me and my friends have an extra seat at our table. It's about an hour wait for a table right now if you'd like to come join us." And he came and joined us for breakfast, and it was freaking awesome. He was telling us stories about the 1980s and the NWA and WCW, and it was one of the coolest experiences of my life, I'm sure for the guys too. But so that is why I figured that he would be on everybody's list for induction, because not everybody has a cool experience with Jim Crockett like that. And let's be honest, the man tried to go toe-to-toe with Vince for a few years, and and he was pretty successful at it when nobody else was. So if anybody does deserve to be on this list, it is Jim Crockett.
Yeah. I mean, the things we could tell you about that breakfast was, yeah.
I mean, like, random wrestlers came up to it, like Magnum.
They would just stop by and just chat with us because Jim was there.
Yeah, it was freaking awesome. Like Magnum TA came by. I think somebody brought Lex Luger over for a minute. It was freaking insane.
Yeah. And I don't want to like underline this as like us. Well, we're just putting him in because we had breakfast with him, right? Like, he's Jim Crockett, right? Well, like,
and that's why I said he went toe-to-toe with Vince, and, you know.
Yeah. Like I remember, like, us asking, like what match types, like, he created that he was proud of and, you know, stuff like that. It's, like, just picking the mind and actually learning, you know, and then looking back at what he did. You know, it actually puts a lot of things also into better perspective too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What made him, you know, as great as he was as a wrestling promoter and stuff like that. So
100%.
Yeah. I mean, him being an amazing wrestling promoter can't be underlined too heavily. You know what I mean? Like, just, yeah, like, and it was. It's just hard to talk about a bit with his death and everything, you know, like.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
We are specifically, of course, talking about Jim Crockett Jr., not Jim Crockett Sr., who died in 1973, and we never met that one.
Yeah. So with that, I guess we can move on to our...
I figured we should point that bit out.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
With that, I think it is now time to move on to our individual picks.
Yeah. And I think we start with Mike. So
yeah. My first inductee into the 2022 Awesomania Hall of Fame is one Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's also kind of a no-brainer on this one because we also put in Miss Elizabeth a little earlier. You kind of can't have one without the other. WWE, please take note of that. Because Miss Elizabeth is actually not in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Sad.
But yeah,
right. Again, just to hedge our bets, neither is Owen Hart, and there's extraneous reasons for that. We don't know what's going on with Liz.
Yeah.
They might have offered it to them and they said no, for all we know.
Yeah. But for Macho Man, I mean, look at this guy. He went from being a baseball player to one of the biggest professional wrestlers in the industry. Second generation superstar. And, when you think about Macho Man, you also think about like the legendary matches that he's had. Everyone always automatically thinks WrestleMania 3 with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Ben just rolled his eyes, but it's fact. Everyone does think of that match.
No, I know. I just think that that match is really overrated. Yeah. Match had way better matches than that match.
Oh, definitely. And but like you also think about his rivalries with like Hulk Hogan and several others that he's taken on in the industry. You think of him like back when Monday Night Raw first started and how he was a commentator and then he made the jump over to the WCW and how big that was at the time, because this was when, Bischoff was taking a lot of the talent from WWE. So it's like he helped create, along with Hogan and Bischoff and others, make WCW a viable competitor to the WWE. So Macho, his resume just speaks for itself. WWF champion, Intercontinental champion, I believe, he won the Intercontinental. Yeah, he was Intercontinental, but WCW champion, I believe he had held.
Multiple times.
Like Macho Man was like the ultimate, like penultimate superstar of the 80s and the 90s. Ben or Matt?
I mean that's a good pick. So for me, my pick.
No. Talk about Macho for a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How can you go wrong with the Macho Man? My favorite WrestleMania Macho Man match actually is him and Flair from Mania 8. I thought that was they told a great story in the ring. I have a Macho Man t-shirt. I love the Macho Man Randy Savage. He's one of my top 10 favorite wrestlers of all time. What more can you say other than the cream rises to the crop,
and commercials.
Yeah. And he helped, honestly, he also, a lot of people I don't think know this, but if you listen to Diamond Dallas Page talk about it, he helped get Page over to the mega star that he was because they were in a huge feud in WCW. And he walked up to Page one night and said, "I'm taking the diamond cutter tonight." And, that's pretty huge for Macho Man to just walk up and go, "Hey, you're hitting me with your finish and you're winning and we're going to get you over." And, once they got Page over, he never really looked back at the WCW. And I think that was a pretty cool way for Macho Man to kind of pass the torch a little bit,
which in a way is what he wanted to do in WWE in the first place, but Vince wouldn't let him.
Yeah, he wanted to have a program with Shawn Michaels for the IC title.
Yeah. So Ben,
and if nothing else gets Macho in the Hall of Fame, WrestleMania 4.
Yeah.
I mean, just go back and watch WrestleMania 4 and tell me Macho Man doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and I will call you a liar.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that is the correct. That is the correct answer.
Everything else in his career is just icing on the cake. WrestleMania 4, done, dusted.
Nice.
So with that, Matt, now you may put in your first male inductee.
All right. So this person is in their WWE career anyway, is a little bit more of an Attitude Era superstar. They were in WCW in the early 90s as well. But this person is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, top two or three. And that is Mrs. Foley's baby boy, Mick Foley. And all of the faces of Foley. You know, you got, you know, your Dude Loves, your Cactus Jacks, your Mankinds, all that. But for me, it's Mick Foley. And I think with all those personas that he took on and all that, I don't think you can deny that he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, because, you know, nobody sacrificed their body more than Mick Foley for us. So that would be my first induction.
I like that pick. I mean, not only that, but like, if you look at Mick Foley, you can also, you know, induct him for other things for like outside the ring as well. Like, look at his run as the commissioner during, you know, near the end of the Attitude Era and stuff like that. You know, he became like a best-selling author while with the WWE, which was completely unheard of at that time, because everyone just like, oh, well, they're wrestlers, they're dumb, you know. And then like Mick Foley puts out this massive book that like really changed the perception of how wrestlers are viewed.
And it was over a year on New York Times bestseller list too. So it wasn't like it was a fluke. It was, he spent 62 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah. So like he, you know, despite being like, as Ric Flair had once described him, a glorified stuntman, you know, he really did help change public perception a little bit by writing his book. And that actually helped out the wrestling business in a way of going like, these people aren't, you know, the stupid Neanderthals we think they are. These are actually very intelligent people who, you know, just happen to be, you know, this is what they choose to do as a form of entertainment for all of us, you know.
Yep. Ben, you got anything on Mick Foley?
I mean, what is there to say about Mick Foley? Like, boy's a legend. I know that sounds really like, to sum up what makes Mick would take his entire career, really. It just, no, a lot of people talk about how adaptable someone like Chris Jericho is, right? And how his character's always consistently changing in that. I'll be quite frank. I don't enjoy Mick Foley in the ring that much. His style isn't my style. I'm not huge on violence and deathmatch style wrestling. But Commissioner Foley was my jam. Like, the way, and all of the other stuff that he does, and the fact he still cares about the product now that he's left it, and he's very openly critical of when things are bad, or very, very quick to praise when things are good. Like, he at least gives a crap. And I mean, come on, man. I just needed to say the line, "By God is my witness, he's broken in half."
Yeah.
Well, right? Also, the single greatest call in wrestling history.
Do you guys remember the second run he had with Triple H in 2000, mm-hmm. where he had just lost the one night, and he was all cut up and he had the bandage on, and he came out on Raw and he goes, I don't think Mankind is ready for Triple H, for the game Triple H, but I know someone who is. And he reveals himself to be Cactus Jack. And you know, the look that Triple H gave him to sell that. Triple H just doesn't do that to everybody. And it was, that feud was one of the most, was one of the best feuds I can remember in the last 25 years, or yeah, 21 years, I guess. And then, you know, just his work with Undertaker. I know their matches weren't great, but they always had incredible spots. He was like Joe DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio once said, or it was either Joe DiMaggio or Mickey Mantle once said, "I play so hard. I play my best every game because there's some kid who bought a ticket just to see me play, and they might never get a chance to see me play again, so I owe it to them to give my all." And Mick Foley was the same way with the wrestling fans. They paid to see a great show, and by God, he was going to give them the best show possible.
And not only that, but one of the other things that Foley did, and he, I think he did more of this in WWE, and he's been very open about it, was he was also very good at helping make others look very much more credible. Like Shawn Michaels needed to have that like edge, you know, be able to show that he can go through like those rough battles to be WWE champion. You know, he did that also with Triple H and several other wrestlers. It's like, so he was also kind of the guy who you went to say, hey, we need to build this guy up. And he was always game to do it as well.
Yep.
He's, and this isn't one of the better remembered runs of his career. But the match he had with Edge at WrestleMania was great. If you read John Moxley's book, there's a story in there about how one day Moxley is sitting in catering and he's hearing Mark Henry go on about, "You hear about some asshole came up to Foley last night, started bitching him out about how all this shit was going down, how all these young wrestlers putting their bodies on the line was Foley's fault, and how like he needs to like fess up for it." And Dean Ambrose is like, "Yeah, that was me. And it was part of a storyline that me and Mick had decided to do without telling anyone." And Mike and Matt have talked a lot about Foley's run in WWE. Foley's matches in WCW and elsewhere were just as brilliant. His matches with Abdullah and Sting and
Vader. Just, I mean, he was yeah. When there was no viable competitors for Vader that made Vader look vulnerable. Yeah. Mick Foley made Vader look vulnerable.
Yeah.
Look like he could be beat.
Yeah, it's hard to not sing Mick's praises, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say with that, why don't we get Ben's first induction?
All right. So, this one's a little bit more, both of mine this time I think are a little bit more out of left field. This one especially so. It is someone I believe deserves to be in any Hall of Fame around the world. Maybe not the WWE Hall of Fame because he's never worked there. The person I am nominating for my first up choice is the anarchist Doug Williams, British wrestling royalty at this point. Familiar to anyone who's watched like TNA or is currently watching NWA or knows anything about the British wrestling scene. The anarchist Doug Williams is an absolute legend. He's done that thing where he retired and then he unretired. Yes, I know. But
that kind of wrestling in a nutshell.
That is wrestling in a nutshell, really. I can't think of many people that retire and stay retired. But I'm not sure that Mike and Matt really won't be able to talk to knowledgeably about Doug Williams, but
his name sounds vaguely familiar. Didn't he come to WWE for like a cup of coffee, the team with William Regal?
I don't know. You might be, I don't know. The lasting legacy of anyone who watches WWE will know of Doug Williams' finishing move, which he created, called the Chaos Theory, which is the rolling German suplex that Chad Gable uses.
Okay, Okay, now that I'm looking at a picture of him. Where I know of him from the TNA stuff a little
bit. Yeah, where he does like you roll him backwards as you're going for a small package, but you carry on through and hit him with a German suplex. It's called the Chaos Theory. It's absolutely brilliant, and I love it. And the first people, most people, first time most people see it, they go, "Well, that guy's dead." Yeah, Doug Williams, his matches against like Alex Shelley and Trent Seven, and I could list off so many. I could be a forever listing Doug Williams feuds, but because the other two can't really talk about him, I think we should move on, honestly, because we want to have actual Matt and Mike involved in this show. So your headliner, Mike. Well, who is your headliner?
My headliner. I'm kind of sticking with, like, as you guys know from like when we were talking, and I think Matt and I had more of this conversation than you and I did, Ben. But like a lot of my picks for this year's haul is more about foundation. Like these people are like the foundations of like where we are pretty much today.
Yeah.
So my headliner is one Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Oh man, I'd have vetoed the shit out of that if you give me the option.
Like, I mean, but let's be honest. I mean, besides the fact that Vince won't let himself be put into his own Hall of Fame until like he's probably dead or something, and even then he'd probably still find a way to veto himself out of the WWE Hall of Fame. Vince, you know, he changed the game of how professional wrestling is today. And now we're getting a more of a resurgence thanks to Tony Khan and AEW. You know, but Vince, you know, by buying up territories, making professional wrestling more national than territorial, you know, doing TV deals that, you know, is able to spread it, you know, he grew this global conglomerate that, you know, is, you know, I don't want to say the end all be all, but for a while it was the end all be all for what professional wrestling was. And a lot of it was, you know, through his business savvy, his booking. You know, we can talk about how he is today, you know, and poo-poo all over that. But, you know, looking at overall body of work, Vince McMahon, 100%, you know, he is a Hall of Famer for being the promoter that he is. And not just only that, but like his character when he was on TV, it helped build stars. I mean, it built Stone Cold Steve Austin. It helped build up The Rock. It helped build up Triple H, you know, and several others, especially, you know, even though he didn't need it, but like, you know, Undertaker got a little bit of rub off of that with the whole Ministry of Darkness stuff when, you know, they did the corporate ministry and stuff. So, you know, Vince McMahon 100% is my pick for this year as my headliner. I'll open the floor to you.
Thoughts on Vince? Yeah.
I mean, Vince McMahon is a professional wrestling Hall of Famer, whether you like the man or not. Mike touched on a lot of it. You know, he had one of the best heel characters of all time. You know, the man is responsible for pay-per-view. I mean, you know, that's a pretty big accomplishment right there. He's known as the godfather of pay-per-view. He, you know, pretty much almost every great major innovation in wrestling is somewhat connected to the WWE and Vince McMahon. So, you know, how can you not have him in there? You know, I mean, it's That's a very good pick by Mike, and I have no issues with it.
I mean, look at WrestleMania alone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that was the biggest gamble he actually made.
Yeah.
If WrestleMania didn't pan out, would there even be an Awesome Mania podcast?
If WrestleMania doesn't pan out, would wrestling still be what it is today?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, Vince is a Hall of Famer. Like, I joke that I would have vetoed it, but I mean, I'm the man that put Eric Bischoff in. like, all joking aside, I mean, Matt and Mike have kind of summed it up. Whatever we think about Vince in his current state and the way he runs his company and the rumors recently that he thinks everything is fine in WWE with its current product and how deluded that actually is, whether it's true or not. The man is a Hall of Famer. Like, just that's not a thing that you can debate, really. He's Vince McMahon. Enough said.
Yeah. So, Matt, who is your headliner, good sir?
So I had a lot of people in mind that I wanted to go into the Hall of Fame. Mick Foley was the only surefire one that there was no debate on for me. But I finally, last week, settled on who my headlining person was going to be. Now, this person is still an active wrestler. But I think if you look at their total body of work, there's absolutely no way you can deny that they belong in the Hall of Fame. And they're one of my favorites because I love that big bruising, you know, brawling, tough guy, big hoss fight style of wrestling. And so my pick, my headliner for the Hall of Fame is Brock Lesnar.
For those of you who could not understand him, he said Brock Lesnar.
Yes, I did. So Brock Lesnar, I mean, you know.
You muted, Matt.
You know, he was, I wrestled in the heavyweight division. And when I was in high school, he was winning national high school or national collegiate championships. Then he went on to WWE and tore the place apart, went to the UFC, became world heavyweight champion there, and has come back and had several really good, I feel like, runs as world champion. And I'm always entertained by a Brock Lesnar match. I love it when he leaves just a path of destruction and carnage in his wake. And, you know, he is the mayor of Suplex City. So, you know, how can you deny that he's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion?
I actually find it ironic that you're doing Brock Lesnar because on my short list was Paul Heyman.
Really?
Yes.
That's funny.
So... But I felt it was too early for Paul because he's still putting up some of the best work he's been doing. So,
yeah.
But no, for Brock, he is the first ever person to win the WWE title and the UFC heavyweight championship. Like, that is something that will probably never be done ever again unless, you know, Vince. I'm talking about WWE wise.
Ronda Rousey would like a conversation with you.
I'm trying to still block that out of memory.
Like, she's in the WWE right now.
I'm still blocking that out of memory. but legitimately though, he was the first to do it. We'll put it in perspective like that. He was the first to do it on the men's end. Don't think that could ever happen again on the men's side unless somebody from UFC comes into WWE, because I don't see a WWE wrestler going into UFC. again, like the way Brock did. But one of the things I will say is that, like, I loved his initial, his like rookie run, like the 2002 to 2004 run. Like, I remember watching that, and like everything that he did during that time was very, well, except for that last feud, was actually very entertaining. And like, you believed in him. And then like now it's kind of like, yeah, we seriously sometimes say, you know, if Brock Lesnar could just go away because, you know, well, all he's doing is just holding the title and not wrestling most of the time. But like, we've noticed lately, especially in this current run that he's doing now, he actually has a personality, which is something that we've never really seen from him ever. And it's like, you know, we talked about like people who have been able to evolve their characters, like Jericho and Mick Foley. Now we're finally seeing that with Brock Lesnar right here. And it's like, so it's like, in a way, I feel like we're putting Lesnar in a little too early, but at the same time, his body of work also deserves it as well.
Can't stand Brock Lesnar. Never have, never will. Don't like him. Don't think he's great. Do believe that him being nominated for a Hall of Fame is a good decision. However, he's just not my kind of wrestler. He's nothing I enjoy watching. His matches bore the shit out of me, but there's no denying that the man is a spectacle. There is no denying that the man is groundbreaking, and there is no denying that the man has legend written all over him. I mean, I can't really say much more than that, other than like, can't stand it, but I'd still put him in the Hall of Fame. Like, much like with Legion of Doom, right? That shows you how undeniable of an impact and what sort of sort of gravitas the man has, right? And how he's regarded by other people.
Yeah. So with that, Ben, who is your headliner?
Oh, my headliner. If you've been paying any attention at all, this will be an easy one. When we did the original class, my headliner was one, William Regal, stroke Lord Steven Regal. I told a story at the time about why he was my headliner, and it involved me when I was 5 years old going to a wrestling match and watching him and his opponent tie each other in knots for an hour, and becoming absolutely hooked on wrestling as a sport, which has lasted for nearly 40 years. So my headliner is the other half of that initial match, one Dave Fit Finley.
Nice. I love it.
There's nothing else to say. Like, this is not based on any of his work in WCW. It's not based on any of his work in WWE. It's not based on his work anywhere else. It's based sheerly on the fact that he and William Regal, when I was 5 years old, tied each other in knots for an hour. And I was absolutely hooked from that point onwards. And I would regularly go and see him once a month, show up, beat some dude up, and be an absolutely dastardly heel. And I loved it. Job done.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Finley, like, at least from like the perspective of now too, you can also put him in for what he's been doing behind the scenes. Like, he is the reason we moved on from WWE Divas to essentially the women's revolution in WWE. Like, even when there were divas, he was the one fighting for the likes of a Trish Stratus versus Lita main event on Monday Night Raw. Like, he was the one that really worked with them and like is getting them to, I mean, now it's like, you know, we don't know really where things are at right now with the women, but in regards to matches and their quality at the moment time, but like for a long period of time, Fit Finley was a key factor on the main roster for the women's division. You know, he was letting them take the chances that, you know, others would not let them take. So, you know, definitely that work behind the scenes is also very worthy for Fit Finley. Matt?
Yeah, so I mean, I do think that Fit Finley belongs in the Hall of Fame as well. You know, I was a fan of his from the WCW days. One match in particular, which also featured Ben's last headliner, William Regal. I forget. I think it was a pay-per-view. But these two had like a 20-minute match and beat the fuck out of each other. They beat the living shit out of each other for 20 fucking minutes. And I think Finley got color, but it wasn't, he didn't blade. He got color the friggin' hard way, because that's just how those two did it with each other. And it was friggin' insane. It's one of the most violent non-like death matches I've ever seen, just of two guys just literally beating the fuck out of each other for 20 minutes. And that's one of my favorite matches for both of those two competitors. And you know what? He also kind of made Hornswoggle cool. Like, Hornswoggle was stupid as shit, and then he got paired with Fit Finley, and I actually cared about Hornswoggle. So, yeah, I think that's a cool pick for the Hall of Fame.
All right. So, just to go do the quick rundown once again, our 2022 Awesome Mania Hall of Fame class features the Legion of Doom of Hawk and Animal only, Miss Elizabeth, Jim Crockett Jr., the Macho Man Randy Savage, Mick Foley featuring all three faces, Doug Williams, Vince McMahon, Brock Lesnar, and Dave Fit Finley. That's a very
question good about the Mick Foley induction.
Yes.
Does that also include Mr. Socko? Or does he need to be nominated separately?
I would say that includes Mr. Socko.
So, right. With that, any other final thoughts besides Mr. Socko?
No, I mean, it's a great class.
Yeah, it's a pretty diverse and cool class.
All right. So, with that, Matt, where can the people find you on the social medias?
I'm on the Twitter at Big Maddie CO3, and I am on Instagram as the coolest fat kid you know.
Are you the coolest fat kid we know?
I don't know. Am I? What do you think? I think I am. What do you guys think? I would say yes, probably I am the coolest fat kid you know.
All right. You can find me on social media at Twitter at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, doing the Twitch thing at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and everything's on the website at txhthockey.com, and for the show specific /x75productions/awesomemania. And Ben, hold on. Wait, let me get ready. I've screwed this up before.
You can find me on Twitter
at Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me on Twitch doing the video game thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
And you can find Awesome Mania's sister show, Voices from the Grid, at
txhthockey.com/VFTG and Twitter at VFTG_PR.
And that's the Power Rangers podcast that Mike and I are involved in.
Through insanity and all.
Yeah.
So with that, Ben, we just did the Hall of Fame. Take us away.
With 9 new inductees, 10 technically, since one of them's a tag team. We will leave you, as we always do, by saying, guys, gals, and a binary pal. the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
And until next time, we will see you ringside.
Peace.